listen, don't mention the war. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it all right. So,
hello. Welcome back to Don't Mention the Fussball, episode 64. Today we've got three beautiful people, plus my ugly self. Two from Canada, another one from Berlin. So who should we start off with? Who's the prettiest? Patrick. We'll say hello, Patrick.
What's up, guys?
That's put him off completely now.
Is that prettiest? is that prettiest with or without the horse head?
I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah. Who else do we
no
have?
No problem.
We have young Joel, also from
Joel in Canada. Also, the other Canadian.
Yeah. And who's this? Who's this other?
Bonjour.
This other guy. Oh, he's in France, apparently. Hello, Jan.
No, I'm Franco-Canadian.
Okay, so
why are you hitting yourself, Simon?
I'm despairing. I do that sometimes. What are we going to be talking about today? The last home game that we've had, and we've got all sorts of financial stuff that Jan's going to fill us in with all the details, I hope.
So much fun.
So.
Hello and corrections. What are we correcting here?
I don't know.
I don't remember getting anything wrong. Look,
first of all, I want Joel to tell me the name of Hertha's number 11 on the men's team. Speaking about corrections. Oh, he's
number
Googling
11?
It. He's Googling it.
Reese? You want Reese's
who?
Right now?
Who?
I don't get it. Wait.
What?
Fabi? What do you want from me here?
Yeah, you always call him Reese. He's not a okay. Reese's pieces.
Reese?
Reese.
Reese. Okay.
Okay, corrections done for today. Great.
Oh, okay. All right, fine. I'll stick to Fabi.
It was all that talk about Welsh people before we started recording. Eh? So, you know, Reese is a fine Welsh name.
People?
Yes, you were. You were talking about Welsh people beforehand, so yes. Not in a derogatory way, I hasten to add.
I was talking about Reese's peanut butter cups, but
okay.
Maybe I was too.
Okay, did any of you watch the Karlsruhe game?
I did.
I didn't.
I don't remember. So
I watched a part and then I had to go to another game, so I didn't see much of it.
Was it on my DAZN?
Theater hopping, huh? Nice. No, nothing. Okay, nope. Never mind.
No.
Theater hopping. Like you know, you when you're at a like a multiplex, you jump between theaters, so you only have to pay once.
Ooh, you're so shrewd.
Ooh.
I mean, I don't go to the theater anymore, so I don't give a shit. But like, you know.
Simon has to leave now for the multiplex.
Yeah. I'm just
we used to do that at
times. I'm just swapping to number two now.
Back in the day.
I always thought about doing that, but I never did it. I was too chicken. Oh. It was a soundboard.
We don't even need Patrick's soundboard now.
That's not me. That wasn't me.
I don't remember that one.
That wasn't me.
Somebody was doing a gig once in England, and they were asking about people's spirit animals, bizarrely. And you got people in the crowd, and people were sort of howling like wolves and things like this. And what do? I start going, bark, 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 bark. And the poor guy cracked up there because, yeah, that's just me being stupid. Sorry. Right. Back on track.
So that's a hard no on the Karlsruhe game, right?
I remember nothing of Karlsruhe.
Hannover game, anybody?
I wasn't here.
Any peanut butter cup goals or what? Any peanut butter cup goals?
Did he score?
Risa.
Oh, yeah. Penalty, right? Yeah, I didn't see it. I just saw the last goal walking out of the stadium. You have all these people who always leave early, which I really don't understand. like 80th minute, they start leaving.
Oh, well, that just drives me nuts. Some people do that.
Yeah, that's insane.
I really don't get it when people do that. Even if we're being, you know, totally taken apart, you know, you stay to the end, no matter how painful it might be. You don't go.
So that's when I need to hear Nurnakhauza the most.
What, when we're being slaughtered, you mean? Or
yeah, exactly.
I remember a match against Ander Luokai against Hoffenheim. We were losing 0-5 and it was really, really cold, and we stayed till the end. I left one match early once at the under-23s when we just had Alison. I had her up here on my chest as a baby, and the other team had scored the 3-2 in the 90th minute, and there was about to be a cloud of rain coming over, and it's a long walk to the car, so we left a bit early. And you know how small the stadium is? You can still see everything when you get out of the tiny stadium. And we had walked about 50 meters, and then they equalized in the 92nd minute or something like that.
Oops. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yep. That's an appropriate sound effect, I would say. Yeah. There's a story, I think I said this on the podcast before, about a guy that was playing, I think it might have been for Portsmouth or something in England, and his parents lived in the Isle of Wight, and they had come over to watch the game, and it wasn't working very well for them, so they decided, no, we'll leave and go and get the ferry back over to the Isle of Wight. And then this guy scored a hat trick. It was just, that would just be so gutting.
Ouch.
Yeah.
But seriously, what's the point of leaving 2 minutes early? Can somebody explain that to me? I don't get it.
The only reason I can see, like for North American sports anyway, is to beat the traffic.
But yeah, that's the main reason in North America when you think of hockey games. It's always about getting to your car and leaving the parking lot. Like, that's honestly why people do. I still generally don't, but that's why in North America anyway. Let's get to your car.
I'm the guy who goes to the movies and watches the entire credits till the end.
To the light. Same, actually.
To the light. You don't go anymore, you said.
Yeah, but like the when I when I did go, that's what I did. And and it's not, I don't know. It's like it gives you a few minutes to think about the movie, you know, like reflect a little bit on it.
I have to admit, I also do it because you sometimes have all these post-credit, these little Easter egg thingies.
Yeah.
But
oh, yeah. Marvel has trained
you. Yeah. Fuck you, Marvel.
Well, that's their shtick, right? The credit scene, bonus scene stuff or whatever.
The first Hobbit movie had the end scene, and then the camera went into Erebor, and then you saw all the gold, and the camera was flying in, and then you saw the gold go away, and then you saw Smaug open his eyes.
Yeah, okay.
Because I'm trying to remember, it could be an interesting piece of trivia, but what was the first movie that had a mid-credits scene, you know? Because Marvel didn't invent that, but
no. Because you think even, well, I guess it depends how you define that too. Because I mean, like 80s and 90s movies often had like the credits would be rolling, but there was continued scenes, kind of.
Yeah, and sometimes and there was also, like on a split screen and shit like that. Yeah, that's true.
Even the old classic, like whatever, Buddy went on to. You know, like he became CEO of blah, blah, blah. Like even though if it was a made up movie of fictional characters,
I love the outtakes being in there sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And the animation movies all have things happen. Like if the first Nemo movie, you see all this, it's like aquarium and things of swimming around.
And or did they like at the end, but that's a show. So but on the last episode,
it's okay, awesome.
It's amazing.
I hate Star Wars shit now, but Andor is awesome, honestly.
Yeah, Andor's, well, I mean, I certainly liked Andor, but they also had this at the end of the last episode. They did an end of credit, but it wasn't like a huge reveal. It was just kind of like just to sort of let you know a little bit.
I don't remember what it was.
It was Well, I mean, if you want to cover your ears, Jan.
Yeah.
but it was just a scene indicating that the parts that the guys had been working on in the prison were for the Death Star.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. Like, okay, there was, I remember those now.
Robots, yes, installed, yes, the parts that they were,
yeah,
in the, yep, prison the whole time.
Absolutely. Yes.
And then it was like, oh, okay, it's, you know, it's all there, you know. Anyway.
Yeah, that's true. But shit like Obi-Wan Kenobi and, you know, Ahsoka or whatever, that was absolute garbage.
Is Kenobi,
but
Andor
is awesome.
Yeah. I liked Kenobi. I mean, I'm a Star Wars fan, to be honest. Like, I'm a big fan. So
I used to be as well.
Kenobi is like my favorite character too. Like, to me, the saga was never about Luke. Like Obi-Wan's the one who makes it, you know, like seven movies or six, I guess. But I mean, like, to me, it was like, fucking Skywalkers. It's really about Obi-Wan. Anyway, yeah. So for me,
you know,
I'm a fanboy, especially to Obi-Wan. I know there's a lot of criticism on that show. I was still a huge fan.
I mean,
some of the nostalgia, the Clone Wars nostalgia stuff, like, yeah, just seeing Anakin in live action in like clone armor, like, was like kind of cool. Like, so they hit me on those notes and it kind of worked. Like, but the whole stuff going on, I was kind of,
but didn't JJ, yeah, Abrams fuck that up?
He seems to fuck a lot of things up.
Yeah. But like, I thought Obi-Wan deserved a much better series, to be honest.
Yeah, but, I mean,
and I agree with you. I really wanted to like it, but I couldn't make it past two episodes. No, actually one, only one, because I think it was it? Yeah, okay. When this guy started chasing young Princess Leia in the woods.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that,
yeah,
was like, this is fucking amateur hour. I'm done.
Yeah, that was awful. That was. I mean, it's all. I think. The pinnacle is where it's the best, where it peaks. Like the last episode, when Vader's involved and it's all that. And then later on, maybe it's a little bit later in the first episode, or even so, but they start to do a couple of the cut scenes of him and Anakin like during the Clone Wars. Like, okay, so as if Anakin was younger, and it's like them practicing while Anakin was still a Padawan, because like he still had his braid and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like they got a few. Anyway, okay. I mean,
but it's like 10 minutes out of 6 hours, you know?
You that's know, the that's all right, the thing. I'm gonna that's pull a problem. Costanza, though. I got to leave on a high note. And,
oh, yeah.
So it's been, yeah, nice, guys.
After, great see you. After he's Joel. Dropped the Star thanks. Wars bomb, he's now just doing a runner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I swear not to mention any football today, so that's me. Have a good one, guys.
Good bye.
Thanks for hanging on and staying.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, so sorry for the nerd talk. Okay, so yeah, sorry for the Star Wars talk. No, but that's true, though. I really wanted to like it, but it's like the quality went off a cliff, and it's like they are just, you know, churning out stuff now. It's just content. They don't even care about the quality.
We started watching Mandalorian. I don't know how many series there are of that. And yes,
the first season was good, and the second was all right, but the third one was crap.
Yeah, we sort of lost interest in it, really. Well, only sort of. Yeah.
We are done with Star Wars.
Fuck's sake, man! You're amateur.
Maybe we should just restart the intro and say something about it when we come to our Star Trek Star Wars nerd podcast.
Have you seen Fanboys?
No,
the movie. I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
It's really, really good. I think it's about Star Wars nerds, and one of them has cancer, and they want to go to meet George Lucas and watch the movie before the guy dies, and then they run into Trekkies and they fight and stuff like that.
Of course,
it's a screwball comedy, but it's really nice. Okay, where were we?
Wow, this is sorry, people, sorry, listeners, we are all over the place.
Listener.
That's okay. Don't beat yourself up.
So Elvis back? No, I didn't watch that. I went to a women's game, I guess. Did you see that, Simon?
See what? Sorry, I'm in
the Elversberg game. The Elversberg game.
But, no. Yeah, an awful lot of it is quite hard. But I mean, apart from highlights, it's quite hard for me to be able to watch really these days, unless you use sort of dodgy streams and things, which I don't like doing much really anymore.
Yeah, if I don't.
That stadium seems to be insanely like it was like a village thing almost.
And it was missing one of the. You know what I mean.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. You're waving around like a crazy
one of the
person.
Tribunen.
I don't know.
One of the tribunen.
Okay. One of the stands. Okay.
Oh, and the Osnabrück game. They had their stadium shut down for safety reasons, and now it's back on. But the fan side will not be the ultras cannot go to the match looks now. And they had to play a match in Hamburg without fans.
Jesus. Because the stadium is falling apart, or?
The roof.
So the last Hertha game, is it going to be played there, but with limited spectators? Is that?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it's going to be played. And as far as of today, Monday, the 13th of May, the one part where the fans, the home fans are, won't be open. But no Hertha away fans have had any email sent to them about being rescheduling or being not able to come, so everybody assumes that they may be able to come.
That'll be strange. So it'll be a final farewell for Osnabrück.
Are we going chronologically? Because the Hertha Frauen game against Türkiyespor was first, and then the Kaiserslautern game was after that. So which one do you want to start with?
Sure. No, yeah, let's go with chronologically. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, Hertha Frauen, after the match that Simon and I attended, had lost two matches. One was against Union. Oh, no, first they played at Victoria, who also have investors, and they lost that 5-0. And then they played at the Alte Försterei against Union. But you have to keep in mind that Union has pros. They train three times a day, and they spend their entire days at the compound. And they lost that 5-0. They got four goals in the first half. In the second half, they played better. But there were lots of the Hertha fans were pretty loud and all looked pretty good.
It was on TV, wasn't it?
They played that at the Försterei?
It was on RBB, yeah.
So you
and
could.
Where did they play it?
At Alte Försterei.
Okay, Försterei. Okay, so okay.
Usually they play at a smaller venue, but they rescheduled that. It was supposed to be the first match of the second leg of the season, but they rescheduled that and then they put it there. And it was, I think it was not sold out, but, and I think the Union fans were not as loud as they always claim they were. But it was nice. And they even had a little choreo.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Ines asked the security people if she could get, they had a broom so she could get all the confetti away. And they looked like, what?
That's nice.
Yeah.
You just can't imagine that. That's normally okay. At a game that you could, can I have a broom so we can sweep up our own mess? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but they said the security was really going crazy. They wouldn't let two people in because they had these Doc Martens with steel toes, which are not real steel toes, and they go everywhere, but they were not allowed to go in with those and stuff like that. It was really, really stupid.
From a Union standpoint, that's kind of funny.
And after the
coming from them.
And after the match, I mean, if you play with a team that has 104 goals, and I think they had four goals against them in the entire season right now. So it's like they're playing with the cheat code in the, because I mean they're much more well funded. And then after the game, the fans saying "Siehst du Hertha, so wird es gemacht." See Hertha, that's how you do it. It was like, I would be a bit embarrassed if my team was so good, but you know, who cares?
Well, yeah, you know, it's I don't know, like. Good for you, you know. It doesn't prove anything. It doesn't mean anything.
The first time they played the Hertha Frauen, didn't they win Union, that was. Didn't they win 15-0 or something like that? And then the second time when they played away, they only lost by, I mean, that's still a loss, but it was by 5-0. Didn't they do a lot better the second?
What was the first time?
Wasn't it 15-0? That's the score of the first match?
No. Yeah, when they were. The first match was 6-1 or something like that. And Hatters got the first goal. The 15 was against some other team in the league that was something else.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, that was recent game. I think it was against Türkiyespor. And then, we still have the problem with the Olympia Park being shut down, or the amateur team is being shut down. I know the rules. On 1st of June, they will have to hand over the Olympia Park in its entirety to the Austrian Football Federation, because they will have their training sessions there. They will stay there for the entirety of the tournament as long as they play, because they have two games at the Olympiastadion, and they will use that for practice. And let's talk about the last home game of the women's first. That was pretty neat. Mm-hmm. They were actually the first ones to wear the special jerseys, the Sondertrikot. That was pretty nice. Them wearing it first before the men's wearing it. For those who don't know, maybe we should talk about the Sondertrikot a bit.
Sure.
You guys say something.
Go for it. I think Jan's just sort of quietly dying in the corner, having a coughing fit, somebody very swiftly having muted it, and now he's rustling with sweet wrappers. Oh no, he's blowing his nose. I'm going to give you all the graphic details. Don't show us that. That's horrible. No,
that's not sweet wrapper.
He's now gone bright red. Jan, are you all right? Do we have to call an ambulance? Hang about. I'll just message Esther. Come and save Jan. He's got a funny colour.
Fuck's sake, man,
I'm not
quite amateur.
Sure what Jan was asking about. I've put myself off.
And the
it was about... Oh, the shirt. I didn't buy one of those shirts. And I wish I had now, but it's too late. They're all gone. What did you call them, Jan? What did you call it? You said they had... Okay. So what's all that about?
What did I call them?
Yeah, what does that mean?
What did I call them? Berliner Weg? Sondertrikot?
No. Yeah.
What? What?
Is that a special shirt or something?
Well, yeah, that's what it means. Sondertrikot.
Oh, sorry.
Special shirt.
You can have two Sondertrikots every season. Usually Cologne and Mainz have, of course, a carnival shirt. Really ugly. And we had the Schwarzer Beton, black concrete, in the away game at Schalke. And now we had the 90s collection that looks like the old Continentale jerseys they wore in 98-99, I guess, when they played Champions League.
Okay.
And there's no sponsors on it, so it just says Berliner Weg. And they sold out in...
Yeah, in minutes.
It was members only. I think 20 minutes they were gone, because I had it... I was contemplating buying it or not, but I don't have any money, so I didn't. And I had it in there, then I went back, I had it in there again, and then it was gone. And then people were queuing up at the shops for 3 to 4 hours to get... Oh, no, they opened at 10, 9? It was 2 or 3 hours. And then they released some more stuff. And the thing is that they were not. You have to order those shirts pretty early, so they ordered. They didn't know how it's going to go. They had to order them last summer, so they ordered double the amount of what the last Sondertrikot or the best sold Sondertrikot sold, and that was the Mauerfall. You know, the one about the wall coming down, the one with teddy bear and stuff like that, mm-hmm. And the Schwarzer Beton sold out very fast, and then it can't be redone, so they're out. But they some other stuff. Right now you can pre-order a jacket, a shirt with pictures of old players, and the shirt with the logo in the 90s style, and a jumper with just the Hatter flag, also looking pretty 90s. Okay. And they're, you can pre-order them now for 2 days on the shop. The shop is closed down. That's all you can order. And then they will be shipped in August. And the jerseys can be reordered because of this special meet.
Okay. Just in time for next season, I guess.
Yeah.
All right.
And they also, unofficially, they didn't mention it, but on Saturday you could buy like a tracksuit, 90s tracksuit, and they had a very new warm-up shirt they were wearing during the match. Yeah.
And they had white sleeves.
Very special tip. If you go to the last home game of a season, you can always have bargains. I think we mentioned that before a couple of years back. Before COVID, maybe. Bell,
yeah. Yeah, maybe. But no, yeah, that rings a bell. Do you remember like the what kind of a discount would that be? Is it like a...
Oh, huge. I was doing Lotte and we were stopping at a shop and they got shorts for $10.
Oh, wow.
And okay. I remember before COVID, we would always hang out on some lawn after the match. And one guy came up with two of these big paper bags full of stuff and he paid like $50 for it.
Jesus.
Really, really good bargains. But you should really just come in when the stadium opens and go to the Ostkurve shop. That's the best idea. I waited a little bit till later when I was running around with my daughter and then I bought the Fisher hat.
Okay.
Because it's...
There were quite big queues going into the shop on... So.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Where's that from?
I don't know. I heard it on another podcast and I said, oh, dude, this is awesome. I gotta steal
it. So you splice it out there?
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, so the women, last women's home game that we were talking about half an hour ago. Okay, the stadium is closed. That's what I said. That's why the Amateurstadion is... Mm-hmm. Now it's still sand, but it's already they're putting in the new lawn soon. And the match was in the Hans Braun Stadion. That's a little stadium with a running track right next to the Amateurstadion. So you could sit on some. It's a bit nicer than the one where we watched the Turbine Potsdam game, Simon.
Hmm.
Remember? You were sitting on the really stone, strange concrete, and then steps. It's a bit nicer. Yeah. Stone steps. That sounds like Game of Thrones. And they were playing Türkiyespor. That's a club from Kreuzberg, and it was one of the first German clubs founded by migrant workers.
Oh, okay.
I just saw. I saw something on somewhere on TV about that. They had to set up these clubs because they were discriminated against in every other club, and some clubs wouldn't hire them. Oh, wouldn't take them on, and so they played their own thing. And they play at the Kreuzberg. It's a Willy Kressmann, and it's really nice. And they have, Klaus said, they have really good sucuk.
That's good to know.
But I think they tied against them in the first match when they played them, but they didn't win, and they won that one 5-0. Was really, really good after losing those two games in a row. And the shirts look really, really good. They really look great. I don't know what to say. They really look really cool.
Which colors are they?
Is it a navy? Is that navy or what would you say?
Yeah.
Navy blue, yeah. I'd say. Yeah.
Navy blue, horizontal stripes.
And navy shorts. And because the women play in Hatters home... The thing is, women's teams should not play in white shorts for obvious reasons. So I was happy for them to wear that, and they really look stunning with the, especially with the socks and everything. It's really, really neat. I was a bit upset I didn't buy them.
Okay. But
the current home jersey has the problem. You have this little circle on top here, on the chest, and it looks really shitty. That makes the whole thing look shitty, but on this it doesn't show because it's white on white. It doesn't make a difference. But on the normal home shirt, it looks. I mean, here, if you look at the lineups I put into the drive, then you see why they look shitty.
Yeah,
in your opinion,
so
yeah, you can see it. But I was talking about the club in Kreuzberg.
Yeah,
they had different colors. Okay.
Oh, although I think they were red.
Ah, okay.
I think Tokyo Spore wears red, but I'm not exactly sure. I can't remember, actually. But it's all pretty nice. They had, because at the Turbine game, they didn't have any food.
Okay.
They had no fries. Oh, one window was open, but they only had sausages, so I had to eat sausages, which I don't like. And they had a food truck was there with burgers, vegetarian burgers and fries. And they always have a little trailer with Hertha gear now at the matches, which I also think is nice. And yeah, to be honest, I didn't see much of the game because I was going to the other pitches to play soccer with the kids and stuff like that. So and getting fries and everything. But it's a really nice atmosphere. It's even nicer than the men's games a little bit. You have 4 or 5 people who try to organize support. It was, I mean, it's the first season, so they're getting started, but they had the drum back.
Working out the kinks.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Oh, my friend Mark, he went to the Union game, and they wouldn't let people take in gloves.
Really?
Yeah, they said, you know, you have these hooligans use these gloves with shit in them.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah. And he couldn't take his so he showed me he was drumming the entire game and he had like really deep wounds on his hands. It was really bad. Really bad. Yeah, a nice game was had by everyone. Everybody had fun. One player had a comeback after 9 months after a torn ACL. It was fun all around. Hatinho was there.
Oh, okay.
Was a really then after the game they had after the game, somebody went to the mic and said, could we please have everybody who plays for Hertha Frauen, works for Hertha Frauen, does anything behind the scenes come down? And so everybody went down. It was like 50 people or more, I don't know. And they got a big applause and everything. It was really nice.
Okay.
It was just, we went home and said, oh, that was good. Really wholesome and great season they're having. There's one more match that's coming up on the 2nd of June, but they don't know where the match is. I mean, if you ever want to go to a women's game, you have to be really careful and check the venue on the day you're going, because for that match, I had put it into my calendar through the Fußball.de app a few weeks ago, and I was about to leave for the game at 1 p.m., and then I went on Instagram and accidentally saw that it starts at 4. These women's games often get changed around. And I talked to the person who does the social media for the women's team. He said they don't know where the game is yet because they're supposed to hand over the entire Olympia Park to the Austrian team. And so it might be in Zehlendorf. They don't know yet.
Jesus, that sucks.
Yeah.
Wow, that makes it almost like impossible to, not impossible, but super difficult to go there. You have to double check and be ready to change your plans, like, you know, fuck. Okay.
I was lucky I caught it in time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there was some youth team, but who knows? Yeah, so Simon, you went to the Kaiserslautern game, did you? Tell us all about it. Because you're the only one who saw it. I was there, but I didn't see it.
I did, yes. That was a great game. There was a very good crowd there. It was 67,144, I think, if I remember correctly. Certainly 67,000. So there was a pretty good turnout. I always think the level of support that had to get, bear in mind, they're not terribly good as a team, let's be honest about it. The level of support that they get, the number of people going out to watch, staggering, really, absolutely staggering. I know it was the last game of the season and the weather. But just the sheer number of people that turn out. Because the last time that they were in the Zweite Liga that I remember, then the numbers were nowhere near what they are, what they have been.
In the 40s or something.
Well, sometimes it was less than that. There was ones where it was like 30,000, which is pretty miserable in the
Stadion,
really.
It was 67,000 people, even though it was Ascension of Christ weekend. So everybody was on vacation somewhere. And Kaiserslautern only brought 5,500 fans. And I talked to a Lautern fan after the match because most people already had used all their vacation time for the cup final that's going to be at the same venue in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not that full from the... I mean, they could have... Kaiserslautern would have brought more people. So it was really, really great attendance.
Yes.
So, I mean, I cannot think of it, but who's playing in the cup final?
Leverkusen and Kaiserslautern.
Okay. Okay, wow. I had no idea. I don't remember at all. Okay, cool.
Leverkusen might be going for a triple this season. A treble.
Yes. Yes. That's impressive.
Yeah.
You were saying, Simon.
Yeah, sorry.
I was. Yeah, I was just saying about the attendance and things. Pretty spectacular. I mean, the atmosphere was very nice. It may not, you know, some people have said that it's wasn't as loud as it might have been, but I mean, I thought the support was pretty good. And the game itself went quite nicely. I mean, we came away with a win. It's always nice to have a win at the end of the season. The most spectacular thing I thought...
We haven't had that in a couple of years, winning the last home match. You know, all these matches against Leverkusen and Leipzig going down 6-1, 6-2 or something like that.
It's not an ideal way to, you know, to finish the season as far as the home fans are concerned, is it? But hey, I mean, the one thing that I liked particularly out of it was the last goal, because it was 3-1 in the end, wasn't it? Reese's goal was a corker at the end. It was a sort of shot. I mean, he skipped past, if I remember it rightly, he skipped past one player. He just sort of knocked the ball to one side and then just ran around him. And he shot from quite a long way out. And it sort of went right over the top and then past the keeper on the right-hand side. Absolute corker. Because Hertha don't very often sort of, you know, hit ones like that. They quite, you know, a lot of their goals are sort of goal mouth scrabbles or trying to sort of tick-a-tacky it at around the place and then knock it in. But to have one whacked in from a distance like that was a joy to see. A joy to see.
It was even greater because Lauten had the ball, then he intercepted the pass, but it still went back to the Lauten player. Then he intercepted the pass again, and then he went running for the goal. So it was pretty well done.
Yeah, one-man goal kind of thing.
The Lautern goal was no slouch either.
No, that was a cracking free kick. It really was a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair play to him. Yeah, the keeper really had...
Yeah, people were just...
No chance, really.
Yeah, some people say he had. I said he didn't have a chance.
Okay.
No.
I don't think he did either.
It's the keeper, Connie. It was right in the corner.
He was going to the right place, but it was just too far away for him to get to. It was you know, really well placed, I think, as a free kick. I mean, the wall had no chance of getting in the way of it because it just went in over the top. And yeah, that was a fair play to him. That was a good free kick.
The first goal was a penalty, right? Yeah, that was just, I don't know. And people who were in the stadium said, I don't know what happened. I saw it on the TV screen and I didn't know what happened. I just ran out of the loge into the entrance just to see it around the corner.
This is the one that Tabakovic scored with.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Oh, we have to talk about that. Because... Go ahead.
Yeah, I saw in the highlights in the stadium itself. I had the faintest idea what was going on because it was, you know, right at the other end. But looking at the highlights, you know, one of the Kaiserslautern defenders came sort of charging in. It might have even been both feet. I can't remember now. Yeah, sort of just diving down.
Yeah, both feet.
And yeah, it was both feet. Well, that in itself is a bit sort of dodgy if both feet are off the ground. But it went right across. Tabakovic, as he was in front of the goal, and he just sort of went over like a sack of potatoes. It was pretty obvious penalty to my mind, but they seemed to take a long time to decide for some reason. Well, it felt like that in the stadium.
Yeah, he wasn't really in a shooting position. The ball was a bit behind him already, so it could have gone the other way. but it was
but it didn't.
Pretty stupid foul. Very stupid foul.
Yeah, a crazy thing to do, really.
Still don't know why Lautner were complaining that much, because he was really, he went in there like scissoring him with two legs. Oh, did I say something wrong?
No.
Patrick's face, I said something wrong, right? No, okay.
No.
Some sexual thing.
Yeah, well, out of context, it could have been.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, not only in Canada, but okay.
And the thing was that Riese mentioned twice after the match that he gave him the ball, even though they're always taking turns. And he mentioned that in an interview and on Instagram that he gave him the ball against the covenant of blah, blah, blah. It was really, Riese really rubs me the wrong way in the past weeks. I don't know what's wrong, but it's, Simon said, hey, if the other guy is going for the scoring trophy, give him the fucking ball and don't talk about it. It's, That's what you said, right? That's the gist of what you said, Simon.
That is the gist of what I said, yes.
Maybe with more unsavory speech in there. You know Simon how he is. That potty mouth.
That's awful, isn't it? I don't know.
Puts me to shame.
What the fuck?
Yeah, the other goal. I forgot which
throw in. The throw in where Dudziak just went straight, and the other players were probably scared of fouling him because of the penalty. So he just had, they were walking next to him, and he just somehow nicked it in there with a little flick.
Nice. Not of the hand, the gesture that you were making, because that wouldn't be allowed, would it?
No, I don't know what a. What a he chipped the ball in there. Sorry.
Yeah, he chipped it.
Yes, it was a chip. It was a chip. Yeah.
And he was people so fast. Often,
I was just saying, people quite often try chips like that, and as often as not, they don't work, and the keeper gets a hand to it or something.
Dudziak couldn't stop, and he didn't want to crash into the bande, so he just jumped over it. Then he held onto it, so because he was so fast, he was running, and it was really funny.
He could have done himself an injury then when jumping over that advertising hoarding.
I personally don't know why Dade didn't play him more. I mean, he was injured for the first half, and then when he came back, he played one or two matches, and then he had one bad game, and then he was gone for a couple of weeks, and then now he came back. There are some things in Dada's personnel politics I don't really understand.
You won't need to pretty soon.
Who knows?
Well, I mean, I thought it was a done deal that he wasn't. He was done with the first team.
Hertha hasn't officially said anything.
Okay.
I looked at all the field interviews. Dada said, oh, yeah, sometimes it happens. And then Herrich said, we're still in talks. We're going to talk next week. We're going to talk after next week. And then when there's something we want to announce, we have to announce it.
Okay.
And of course, the haters are now going, oh, yeah. Like people, you know, certain people we don't talk about said, yeah, because they've been shitting on Hertha's leaders for ever since Bobic left. And then it's all, yeah, that's weakness and wow, that's unfair, blah, blah, blah. And I looked at all the comments under the press conference and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, that's not the Berlin way. You cannot get rid of Ladai, la, 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 la. I have a number for you. It's 57 goals against in 32 matches.
That's not good.
No.
Yeah, so we had the throw-in, and then we had the corker, and then the match was over. And for the first time I can remember, we had a captain say something after the match, because somebody said that last season Plattenhardt said something. I don't remember that. I don't know. Simon, were you there? I don't remember anything
that
Plattenhardt ever said publicly.
No.
It can't have been that memorable, whatever he said.
Apparently not. No. Neither of us can remember it. So.
Oh, he was, Plattenhardt was given the farewell at the Hannover game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a strange situation. He because they wanted to keep him just in case they couldn't find somebody. And then so he's without a club now, and he's been training individually for quite some time.
Yeah, because I think I saw something on Instagram about that, and I was wondering what was going on. Like, did he officially retire, or?
No, they just let him go now. I don't know what really happened, but
okay.
There was a sometimes Hertha TV does Twitch streams,
mm-hmm.
but it's on days like Friday, so it's hard to watch. But sometimes they upload the highlights from that onto YouTube, and I watch that. And they were people were asking, "Hey, how do you? What's your job? How do you do that?" And then they said, "Yeah, sometimes they get new players coming in. They get a message like an hour before, hey, we have to come up with this pictures, photographs, video, everything." And so it's always really stressful. And then they talked, people were asking, yeah, but you know, it's in a chat and they can ask questions. Why didn't you do one for Plattenhardt? Yeah, we had order not to do one because I think when the summer started, they wanted to keep him around just in case they needed someone.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody, I think he said he had some interest from other clubs, but he never took. So I'm not even sure what he's officially now. Maybe I can look that, but he left Hertha. But I looked at his Instagram. He didn't put anything out after he was the captain and Hertha was relegated, which I think is pretty, pretty weak. But going back to the positive things, Toni Leistner made a nice speech. Mm-hmm. I think I didn't hear all of it, but he said thank you and really great how the support was and everything. And he said, for me personally, I was also happy that sometimes the away block was on fire.
All right.
And Simon, what happened? The team did their usual round around the stadium, and then they came.
Yeah, they sort of started off by the marathon tour, and they had a banner that they were holding up, and mm-hmm. they sort of gradually walked around all the.
Oh, they had it back then. Okay.
Yeah, so they had it right from the start, and they brought it around, and then they sort of basically parked it in front of the Ostkurve, and it was I think it was in memory of Kai Bernstein, so it was in black with white lettering, if I remember correctly, which was quite nice.
I think it's the same one from the Düsseldorf match. Or did you see the players' kids playing on the goal?
I did.
Well, Tony was
so funny.
Talking. It was so cute. Yeah,
they were.
I think it's Gasbeck's kids, Leistner's kids, and
there was a tiny little boy, wasn't there, and a girl, and he was sort of toddling along, and then sort of when he put the ball into the net, the whole crowd just went, "Ay!" It was really, really quite funny. Yeah. But that's happened before, hasn't it? One of the other matches that we went to this season.
Marvin Plattenhardt officially from July 1st, 2023 on has been without a club. So I don't know why they did that now. I have no clue. Yeah.
Unemployed.
I'm not sure what's going to happen there.
An unemployed
footballer. And then Leistner said some words. People were applauding, or I don't remember. I
couldn't really hear it from where I was. That's for sure.
Yeah, but people were cheering, right? After what he said, or did they all just not care? Yeah. So I
think they could probably hear it a lot better in the Ostkurve than I could.
Yeah, and Yeah, that's stupid. I mean the Toni part was, but that was over the stadium announcer. But what the capo said was only on the Ostkurve speaker. So I was lucky I could hear because I was in the lounge where the safe room is. So I could hear it. But I think you couldn't hear anything, right? Acoustically,
not really. No.
Yeah.
No. I probably wouldn't.
I think there's a TikTok video. It's a TikTok video with very, very bad English subtitles. Yeah. But he's just said something along the lines of, what did he say? I didn't hear all of it. And he said something about this being a really, really hard year. And all that's happened. I think he first went on that, yeah, you know, it's, if you look at it, really, it's a shit season, because with the money that Hertha has invested into the team, being eighth is not really good. But that's also the change that came when Kai came, that he said usually there would be 40,000 people at a game like this, if that. And now you have almost sold out matches and you have a record. And he said that that's what Kai gave back to the club, and something about, it's always about being humble and being pro-flip 50 plus one, and yeah, the Berlin way, that's, which is not every player has to be from Berlin. As I was talking to some other guy, I said, yeah, but they, somebody was complaining about them getting Bradley from Arsenal too.
Okay, yeah.
And I said, yeah, but that's not the... Sorry, that's not the... I didn't hit the mute on time, did I?
Nope.
I mean, not every player has to be from the... But I tried. Not every player has to be from the academy, but you have to play with young players. I think 15 players from the academy were playing this season. I'm not sure if it's...
Okay.
I have to look that up, but it's a lot. I think it's double figures.
Like in the past, how many would it have been in the past?
I can only think of players that played longer was Mittelstädt, Torunariga, and maybe Gechter, who didn't played a few games. And then you had the guy who went to Gladbach, Luka Netz, mm-hmm. played a few games, and then he went for the money, like they all do. And yeah, that's about it. I can't think of any other. No. Gasbeck left. Then Brooks went on, and now I think he plays at Hoffenheim. Nico Schulz is a different story.
Yes.
And
if we go back in time, John Anthony Brooks, did he come from the academy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He was an academy player, and that was a... I think they sold him for a decent chunk of money back then.
Yeah, to Wolfsburg. Yes, okay.
Double figures. Yeah, Maxi is shit because we only got 400 or 500,000 for him. I blame the person who made the contract. Bobic. Mm. Yeah, that was just stupid. Especially with the whole, yeah, he's going to stay till 2027, doing extra videos about it, and then he leaves for 400. It's just, if he had left for a couple of million, would be fine. But I'm happy for him that he's playing so well, and I think they're in second place now. Stuttgart?
I think so, yeah.
I think I saw a reel from another Bundesliga podcast, and they have 30 points more than last season.
Holy shit, yeah, I didn't know that.
They were struggling, okay. Wow. Struggling to survive even last season, and yet suddenly...
Yeah, always on the brink of relegation. And the year before, when Hertha was playing relegation... They saved themselves from relegation in this 94th minute with a header on a corner where the whole stadium went crazy.
Yeah. Wow.
And I think it's just the coach. They didn't change much, just the coach. And you know that the coach was a youth coach at Hertha before that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. The son of Dieter Hoeneß.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yes, yeah. Yes. Wow. Okay.
So sometimes players just need the system. Players need the system.
No, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
So
what's next on the Tabakovic agenda?
Tabakovic is 3 goals ahead of the runners-up in the, what do you call it, Simon, earlier? The Torjägerkanone?
Yeah.
You call it the goal cannon?
Goal cannon, yeah.
The prize you get is a cannon, so it's called Torjägerkanone in German. And I think he's 3 goals clear because of the absolutely selfless act by Fabian Reze, which will be talked about for generations and generations. I don't know why I'm so...
He's going to have his own statue in front of the Olympiastadion.
Yeah, he's just, I don't know.
Like, do you think both are leaving this summer?
I would say that Tabakovic... Of course, I'm... Can totally talk shit now, but I think Tabakovic will not leave, because from the first day he came in, you can see it on the documentary, he was really happy to be there, in all the interviews, whenever he has in a field interview, he does lots of field interviews, which we didn't have players who did field interviews for a long, long time. We had Boyata never did an interview. Never once did he do a field interview. Okay, he speaks he only speaks English, but he never did a field interview. And he does lots. And then if Hertha lost, he will say, I scored a goal, but I don't care. We should have won the game. We played too arrogant. So he's always very self-critical, which I like. And he's just... once he said, I have contract till 2026. And he's already 30-something. So I'm not sure if they can get that much money from him.
Okay.
I would rather say that Tabakovic stays than that Reza stays. I would love for them both to stay, but we'll see what happens. But Tabakovic, such a steal. I mean, okay, we got Reza for free, granted. But Tabakovic, $500,000 and he scored 20. Where are we now? 20? I don't know.
Yeah, 22, 21?
He's the first player since...
But what I'm worried is, like, both Tabakovic works really well with Reza, like his level of energy and all that. So I'm a bit worried that Tabakovic would drop off a fair bit if Reza leaves, you know?
I think Tabakovic would work well with anybody who could put the ball in front of the goal. I would say. Everybody's saying that, we're so reliant on them. Yeah, but just be... We're so reliant on them because first, they're there. So you're going to use that. Second, Dardai has never made any changes that would lead to a different playing idea. That's one of the big criticisms that they haven't changed any systems and you mostly rely on special performances by special players to win.
Yeah,
I mean, Winkler played well as well. And I think we really should do at least one episode where we just talk about the team. Because Kenny, that's just, I don't know, that's the way he's played this season is just crazy. I think he has 3 goals or something, or even 5. Remember that?
I did not expect that.
I remember last season, but I was like, oh, Kenny's playing. Oh, he's the worst. And he was playing shit. And then you see him on the documentary being in the dressing room and saying, we play like shit and we play in same because we always shit our pants every week.
That's true. That's
it was quite pleasant comical.
Surprise,
people,
one of the pleasant surprises this season, I guess.
A lot of people were criticizing him massively on the likes of Twitter and such like. And then him sort of, you know, breaking out and scoring these
and
goals,
rightfully
what
so.
Have you. Well, that's as maybe, but I always get some sort of smug satisfaction about somebody sort of proving all those people, not wrong exactly, but showing them what he can do.
Yeah, but word was he wanted to leave in the summer. Him and Kempf wanted to leave. And Kempf, they stopped a transfer because they said we're not sure if we can get somebody to replace you in time, which I think is fair. But Kenny, have you seen the goals he scored? I don't know how fast it was. And he did, I mean, in this one match, was it the Rostock game? He did 2, or was it, I think it was either him or Winkler who did the heel flip twice for scoring. Crazy. Yeah, but that's for another day. That's a story for another day. Yeah, so it was a great game, and I think next week's game will not be that great, especially since Dardai said that the under-19s are in the semifinal against Dortmund for the German championship. They won their division, and they won the cup, and they have to play Dortmund. And all the players who are still eligible for under-19s, like Clemens, Maza, Bence Dardai, will all play under-19s. Bence Dardai has only played in the under-23s since it came out that he was going to go to Wolfsburg after the season. Yeah, so that's I think that matches on a Thursday morning or something like that. It's just really, really hard to get to. And it's a two-leg situation, one being in Dortmund, one being at home.
Okay.
And then they go on to the final. The final only is one game. And I think they won that a couple of years back. I don't remember when, but I went to the semifinals and they beat Schalke in the final. Was with Palko Dardai and Arne Meyer and all those people. Good time. So where's my document? Where are we?
Next up, we have 777 in the shitter.
Oh, so, I mean, we talked about it last time that they were having problems, right?
Yes, yeah. I think so, yeah. I mean, when I remember when we first heard about those guys, I remember the guy, I forgot
Josh
his name.
Wander?
But like, yes. Yeah, that's him. He was wearing like a baseball hat in a press conference with a suit, and
the tie was not straight.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There you go. And I said something to the effect of if you are wearing a suit with a baseball cap inside, you are a twat, and it is confirmed.
You said something more.
What an asshole.
I think we even named the episode after that, what you said.
I think so, yeah.
Hang on.
It's like a baseball cap. Anyway, but...
Hosepipe sessions, dope leaders and crappy baseball hats, and snowflake fascists. I don't know what we talked about.
I don't remember either.
Once we get all the episodes online, we have to listen to that again.
Yes. Yeah, but...
You were saying about Wander...
She just looked like an asshole, and we had the confirmation. So good riddance. But that said, we don't know if there is going to be I think you mentioned the other day, Jan, a 25 million euro sized hole in the finances, okay, or something.
Maybe let me go back to what happened actually. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yes.
Standard Liège is broke. Yep. Their accounts are drained, and they are they are 100% they own 100% of that club. They don't have any money anymore. They had a match, and the ultras were all lining up in front of the stadium with signs saying "Go home, seven, fuck you, 777, shit like that, and the game could not be started because they wouldn't let the coach in.
I didn't know that.
Which Simon didn't think was a good idea, right? You said something.
How does it help anybody doing that?
But it's protest. Protest needs to hurt, right?
Sometimes it's the only way to be heard.
I think players haven't been paid in a long time. And and then it was on Josimars, that Norwegian news, sporting news thing. And they have been, mm-hmm. all the stories that came out about them were from them. And something like that the leaders of the club cannot get hold of 777.
Holy shit. Yeah.
And
wow!
Then that night, another thing came out that Josh Wander and Pasco, the two founders, had been removed from the board of the company that oversees their football operations. They had lost an air, like a cheap, what do you call these cheap traveling, like cheap airlines? What do you call them?
Budget
airline. They had one in Australia, I think, and that got shut down, and it looks like they don't have any money right now. And and two people who mostly work in restructuring and bankruptcies are now working there. One guy already was mentioned as being the interim COO, and he's a guy who works in restructuring and bankruptcy law. And I have a quote from the article, which I found pretty telling. I just have to look it up. Hang on. I think I sent it to you guys. No, that's the wrong one. Oh, that's the email Hertha sent out. Hertha sent an email out to the members, and it said, "Dear club member, we are currently receiving many messages from you regarding the current reporting on strategic partner 777, or 666, as Simon calls it. We have also taken note of the latest developments concerning the 777 football group. At this point, it should be noted that the 777 football group has not only fulfilled all contractual obligations towards us, but has even made agreed payments early. The group has made a significant contribution to the economic restructuring of Hertha BSC. We already reported extensively on this on the press release, and blah, blah, blah. With regard to your concerns and questions, we can also clarify that there have been no changes to the shareholder position of 777 in Hertha BSC. Disposal of the shares in 777 would in any case require the approval of Hertha BSC due to the provisions of the Articles of Association, but nobody knows what those are. And we'll, of course, continue, blah, blah. So it's basically, yeah, we know, but we don't know. And we can't say anything. Yeah. I think nobody knows what's going on there. And hang on, the quote here. From Josimar, from the Josimar article that was called Out of the Blues, because I think the article was about how they tried to buy Everton, and that's been on hold for, that's more like your kind of neck of the woods. It's been on hold, or the league hasn't approved it, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Who's owning Everton now? Some Russian?
Oh. No.
Some guy.
I think, yeah, okay. Wasn't it like Usmanov?
I don't know.
Because... He had the choice at some point to buy either Arsenal or Everton, and Kroenke muscled him out, and his plan B was Everton. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but I think they agreed way back in July last year or something like that, but the league has put it on hold and they haven't agreed to it yet, and that might be a good thing for Everton.
Farhad Moshiri, British-Iranian businessman based in Monaco. Okay,
so, yeah. Monaco. Those nice chaps. Anyway, yeah, so the article says, quote, "It looks as if the straw which finally broke the camel's back was the filing of a complaint for fraud and double pledging of $350 million of assets by one of 777 partners' main lenders, Leadenhall Capital. That lawsuit accused Wander and Pasco of... quote, operating a giant shell game at best and an outright Ponzi scheme at worst that makes money from investors and lenders and shuffles it around to various money-losing alter egos in the enterprise," end quote, and that Everton is merely the, quote, "latest shiny object of Wander's fraudulent scheme," end quote. "But at some point in any shell game, the shells have to stop moving. It appears we have reached that point for 777 partners," end quote.
Wow.
And here we were thinking that we had seen it all with Lars Windhorst. Jeez. I think Hertha BSC would be a really great case study. Like 50 plus one or work with private equity. I mean, all private equity deals I've seen have been shitty.
Yeah. People playing with other people's money, pretty much.
Yeah. So I think I would go for the Ponzi scheme part. And I mean, the whole business that 777 was built on is they buy insurance claims. It's a really dirty business they're in.
Okay, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, so situation with Hertha is they pledged 100 million euros, so Hertha would get the license for this season. And they paid 75 of that. Their last payment was 25 million or 22 million, which they paid earlier than they had to. And nobody knows specifics, but it says that over the course of next season, 25 more million would have to be paid in by 777 to keep the doors open, or how do you say it? Yeah, and that might be gone.
Keep the wolf from the door.
The dream I have. The wolf. I'm huffing and puffing. So my dream would be that the shares are so devalued that at some point, my dream would be like, you know how the Green Bay Packers are organized?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want the fans to own the club. That would be my absolute dream. or even buy, somehow with help from people buy back the shares and then just go get rid of the KGAA and go back to being like a proper club, just the EV. That would be my my romantic dream, which will never happen, but it would be so awesome. That would be better than winning the championship or something like that to me.
I don't know. Maybe if it was like a much smaller club, like you would have to shrink the club so the fans could actually buy it, I guess. Like, you know,
it's too much money involved, isn't it?
Become a permanent fixture in the second division, or
I mean,
I don't know.
The big moving parts are we have the Nordic bond that our former financial director, or I call him the juggler. I think they used that it was a couple of million of shares, so they could pay off. Sam, what did you call the last investor today on our walk?
Oh, the KKK.
When they paid off KKR, they signed that bond, so they could get the money to pay them off. And now it became due this summer, and they had no money to pay for it. So they only got the license because they talked to the shareholders, and they extended the loan for 2 years. For 2 years, I guess, from 23-25. And they just upped the percentage a couple of. So it's going to cost Hertha a couple of million just to fulfill that. But that's to keep the door open, which is why Hertha has to basically get promoted next season if they want to survive. Unless you find somebody who comes up with another 100 million. That would be the other thing that could save you. If that doesn't work, Hertha can't pay it back. We're going to the Regionalliga probably. Because we're really bankrupt. Which is also tied to the Dardai question. So it's all related. Money bad if you work with shitty people.
Yes.
This whole thing is just an argument for why we really have to keep 50+1 as the heart of German football. And Simon, would you agree that 50+1 is the unique selling point of the Bundesliga compared to Premier League and La Liga and everything? Or what's your opinion?
Helps. Having it certainly seen helps a lot. The Premier League, you do not want to go that way. I mean, the amount that it costs to go and look at any of the Premier League clubs, certainly the biggish ones, although certainly the London ones, it's just sort of crazy money. And you look at the prices for the season tickets in Germany, well, certainly with Hertha, they're pretty reasonable, and that outrageous for people like Chelsea and Arsenal and what have you. Just madness. It's just they're just sort of rinsing their fans. They're not considering what they think at all. It is purely a business. It's not a club. Club's not the right word for it, really. It's a business.
Yeah,
that's
true.
And I think you could, at any given Hertha game at home, you will have a couple of hundred fans from England who will tell you that they're flying over just for the atmosphere, right, Simon? I mean,
yeah,
there's always people around who speak English.
As I've said on the pod, many, 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 many times, so I was not even that bothered about football as a sport. I mean, as a younger fellow, I used to watch rugby. And it was coming to Germany and seeing the games here that's got me really sort of hooked on it. And most of that is the atmosphere. It's not necessarily the quality of the football, certainly in Hertha's case, but it is the atmosphere, the feel of it. And on the whole, the sort of welcoming nature of fans, to have some sort of weird English bloke turning up and watching it all. It's a very different kind of feel. I mean, I have been to some games in England, not that many, but it's okay, but it's just not the same.
I think British football, or Great Britain football, I don't know how to best put it politically, that I mean all the islands that are up there, they have a really great culture of singing, but all the people who were singing have all been priced out and then watching the games at the pubs, right? Because they cannot afford.
It's a whole load of people. It's only people that have got quite a lot of money that can afford to go to a lot of the big games. I mean, in some ways, the singing that goes on in the Bundesliga here is more akin, because I used to go to rugby matches in Wales, and there, especially if you went to like an international in Cardiff, the singing was extraordinary. Just that number of, it's like an absolutely massive male voice choir. It's perhaps different, but the level of fan participation in those sort of games was something else again, which it tends to be a lot more sort of disorganized, I guess, in English football. Maybe.
Yeah, but
I've just seen the wrong things.
From the starting perspective, England has better singing than the Germans have. Germans are always quiet and everything, but they killed the whole fan culture. I mean, there was still the fight about football, who owns football. That was the same thing with the DFL protests. Same thing. Fans saying, stop, we don't have to go chase those others. We're fine where we are. And I mean, one of the big arguments of them was, but if we don't do this thing with the investor in the DFL, we will lose connection to the huge places. And how many German teams were in the quarterfinals, in the semifinals?
Well,
and how many English teams? None, right? I would like to do the two miscellaneous things real fast, and then we can mention the you want to get done. Okay.
No. Well, I mean, I gotta have to bail soon. Okay. So it's
one thing we didn't mention. Barkok was attacked at a bar or at a club after one of the matches, and he's been injured.
Oh yeah.
I don't know what time that was, but he got into a fight and he had to have a few operations on his face. And
That's what I heard. Yeah. Like maybe broken cheekbone, maybe
a couple of bones, I guess.
Okay.
Was it some club? I have no clue what it was. And the thing is, he was on loan and he would have been hired if he had played a certain amount of games, which he was really close to, but now it's not going to happen. So I think the team took a picture with his jersey. You know what to do when somebody gets injured, you hold up the jersey, but we don't know if he's going to stay or not. And I'm not sure if I want him to stay, but different story. Just have it out there. There was an attack on a football player.
Yeah. It sucks that it happened for sure.
And Hertha's getting a new financial director, which has been vacant or filled by what's his face? Who's the guy? Jesus.
I don't know. Was it the same Herrich guy that you were looking Herrich for earlier?
Yeah, that's the guy. But Herrich has been there used to be three of four people on the board. It was Preetz for sports, you had communications, Paul Keuter, you had Schiller for the money, and you had Herrich for everything else. And then Schiller left, Preetz left, Bobic left. Now you have Weber and Zecke. But I think the only member of the board was Herrich for some time. And now the guy comes in, Ralf Huschen is his name, and he will join Hertha when the financial year ends on the 1st of July. He was the finance guy for Paderborn. He brought them through COVID times without any problems. And he used to work for Adidas at some point. So he all looks pretty nice to me. And I think they pointed out that this whole process was started when Kai was still there. So they always knew they had to replace that part. And especially the financial thing, there's one thing, Berliner Weg has to be financially sustainable. Not like they did before, but you can only spend what you have. And
okay,
so that looks like a good move. I'm not sure if they paid any money for him, but it looks pretty, pretty good to me. Yeah.
Okay, okay.
And that's the... And now we would have to talk about data, but we can postpone that for a week or I don't know. Just nothing has been said. Bild said on the day of the match that he was going to leave. Dade said something on interview. Yeah, it's sad. I'm good, but it's a bit sad. But blah blah. It's okay. I still live here. I've been for 30 years. My boys are playing the whole spiel he always gives. I'm a tiny guy. I'm a nice guy. I'm not complaining. Yeah. So nobody knows. But I think he's leaving, and I would not be mad because the defense, the whole season was just shitty.
Yeah, it might be time. I mean, I love the guy, but it's probably time to move on for both parties, you know?
I would love Oliver Reis, who's been coaching the under-19s. The couple, they've been performing really well, and he's really... I think there was a documentary before the just for the under-19s. It's a really good one, tiny one. And he said something like, they call him the Pep of the Hertha Academy. Because he's really nerd.
Well, yeah, okay.
Nerd!
I think we will know by the time the members meeting is on the 26th of May or something like that. We'll see what happens. Okay. That's
indeed
enough. Anything else? Pekarik.
Oh,
okay. Peter Pekarik had his last game. But he's not really leaving. I think he's becoming a youth coach in the academy.
Is he?
Okay. They mentioned that when they last gave him a contract. I did some googling because I wanted to write an article about it for a blog, and they mentioned that they would offer that he had a new contract with an option to become. Becoming, he's only a player, so he has to do all these qualifications to become a trainer, but he would definitely do that. I mean, same happened with Ibišević, who is now, he now works for Sandro Schwarz at New York Red Bull.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. Yeah, I stop here. I'm not saying anything anymore.
Okay.
Let's drag it out anymore.
All right. Yeah, so yeah, I gotta go as well. So, okay, I'm not the host, so Simon, you do the
thing. I've said something at the start and I'm saying something at the end, so that's a wrap. So yeah. We'll Thanks, see you everyone. The next time around. So it's bye-bye from me.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye for everybody else.
Hi, my name is Salomon Kalou, and keep listening to the Dimension Football podcast.